watching the world through my windows and walls. It is all I can do. Never been out.
Jake Davis, candidate for Lawrence City Commission and local musician known about town as Basin. Thank you for joining us here at Lawrence.com.
Thanks for having me. I don't know how well about town I'm known, but...
Well, you're following in the lofty traditions of Sonny Bono and that guy from 70s Light FM Heroes Orleans who recently got elected to Congress, and other musicians turned politicians. Do you think that being a rocker is going to help or hurt you in the election?
I think maybe, let's say, east of Iowa, it'll help me. I think west of Iowa, it's not going to be so much.
You're already focusing on the demographics.
Yeah.
And not that vocation is a disqualifier. I mean, we have a barber for a mayor and a grocery store bag boy as a commissioner. So I think anybody who would hurl that stone at you would be, I think, hypocritical. But speaking of your music... On top of still performing as Basin, you work as an engineer. You're going to school for an economics degree. Or you got a degree in engineering.
I went to school for engineering.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, okay. But you do. You work at Pearson, and you have a job.
Yeah.
But you also are – I noticed that you're going to be performing at some festivals before too long.
Yeah, those are kind of up in the air now with this all going on.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean, you have a lot of balls up in the air. Like, how are you going to juggle all of this time-wise? Because you're working on another degree. You're going to school currently. I mean, you have a job, and you have your music. How are you going to find time to campaign?
I think, well, I have all the evenings so for the work. The music... I think those shows are going to get canceled, so it's not even going to be a big deal.
So you think that the politics are going to get priority now?
Yeah, at least for now, yeah. At least till the primary. Then we'll see what happens.
Right. Were you influenced politically at all by music that you've listened to? Do you think that maybe music helped to shape you, who you are in your politics, and maybe helped to provide the impetus for your run?
You know, I don't really see it, because... Nine Inch Nails is my favorite band, and it's not very political normally. I guess Wilco has some on the Mermaid Avenue stuff. They have some anti Big Brother government fascism things, especially when the Billy Bragg tracks are on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's the main part of what drove me to do this.
Mm. What do you see as maybe a specific incident, or what was the catalyst that helped make the decision for you to run for office?
The catalyst. I think the smoking ban was the catalyst, but it's not my main thing at this point, so I hate even saying that. But I've talked to so many people that work in the bars that say they lost money doing that. It's like, why do we have this super restrictive thing? And maybe not so much even that. It was that, and then they were going to ban it in your car, and then they wanted to ban cell phones. And here it is. It was the Iraq resolution. Yeah. That just seems like such a waste of time to me. Well, we're not going to listen to the rest of the Congress or anything. We're just going to wait until Lawrence says that we should get out.
So you saw that the local city resolution on Iraq? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Telling us we should get out. I think that's just a waste of time.
Symbolic gesture.
Yeah, symbolic gesture. But...
Time student, you think that could have been better spent.
Yeah, the student senate could have done the same thing and had as much power.
Is there, and you mentioned the smoking ban is one of the initial motivators for you, is there now a specific policy that really pisses you off or gets your goat? Or I guess a more intriguing question is there a specific commissioner that you would hope to unseat right now?
You know, I don't have that kind of personal animosity, I don't think. There's no one that's actually made me that angry. So,
yeah.
Policy issue that makes me angry. I think the way we try to keep drawing jobs in, like $10 an hour, $8 an hour, that living wage thing. I don't know anybody that can live on. That's what I make. Mm-hmm. I can barely pay my bills. And they keep trying. Like the American Eagle warehouse, they were going to give them like 50% or 80% abatement, mm-hmm. and then it fell apart. And I really think that they're wasting. All the university graduates that are coming out every year, there's nothing for them here. And I know most of them would stay if there was like a $30,000, $40,000 a year job that they could get.
And so you don't think that the way that the commission is going about it right now is necessarily luring students to stay or luring better jobs here?
No. I think they just want their housing developments and their sprawl and whatever makes it easier to go to Topeka or Kansas City.
Which leads me to my next question. Environmental issues seem to dominate your platform that you've announced recently. Do you think that you being so concerned about so many environmental issues is going to put you on a collision course with the business and development interests in town?
So far it seems like that people that are really pro-growth don't like those ideas. They think it's going to slow it down, but I tend to disagree. I think that, like in the 90s, the technology boom was what drove the economy. Mm. I think embracing technology, especially like green technology, will make people in businesses that are concerned about the public image want to come here. Right now, there's we don't even have recycling. Well, I guess there is recycling, but it's so unpublicized. I don't know anybody that knows about it, except you go to Walmart, and that's all you can do.
Walmart.
Yep. Yeah. I just think if you have innovative policies that I don't know exactly what I want to say here. I want to try to hold back from anything bad. but if they would put a good face on Lawrence in the news, and I think that would draw a business here that's environmentally concerned, which is what I hear a lot of. I hear commission candidates and some commissioners saying, "Oh, we need more green jobs. We need more enviro business growth." And well, they're not going to come to a town that has just poor energy policies. I live in an apartment that was remodeled 10 years ago. It cost 350 square feet. It cost me like $150 to heat it in the winter.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that's there's some building code issues there that probably would be nice to be changed. Maybe a little insulation downstairs. That's maybe a little bit more efficient furnace.
More asbestos. Yes. That should be your platform.
Yes.
Talk about some of the specifics on your sort of your green issues.
Like the first thing I want to do is increase the strictness of the energy efficiency aspect of the building codes. California has passed in 2005 energy efficiency building codes that were far, far stricter than the federal guidelines. And I think we should follow along and do something like that. It would just put a good face on us. Boulder has the Green Point building system, so you don't always have to do everything in the building codes. It gives a little bit more flexibility. I'd like to see, and this is probably what a lot of people really disagree with in the development, I'd like to see a requirement for photovoltaic flexible film solar roofing shingles.
Mm-hmm.
Not like at least on commercial construction and industrial stuff, so like apartments and factories and stuff, if they get built, I think they should at least lessen the amount of burden they're going to put on the power plant over there.
Have there been any specific complaints? You said that you've already sort of encountered some pushback on this from the pro-growth people. Like, what specifically is their argument against this?
They don't really have specific arguments. Mostly it's been like in the LJ World forums. And I've been told that Merrill in the Morning over on the Laser, the West Lawrence radio station, just calls me a dirty hippie. And
dirty hippie?
Yeah, dirty hippie, and I'm the farthest thing from
it. It's already gotten to mudslinging.
Yeah. Apparently he's called me an idiot. And I don't know. I don't even know the guy. I don't listen to the radio station since 1998.
dirty hippie. You should embrace that and just put that on your campaign.
Yeah.
Dirty hippie for city commission.
That's what I've been trying to go for a while.
But moving on to some of the rest of your platform, you've mentioned incentives for film production to stay in the area. Why do you think that is important for Lawrence?
We've lost a bunch of movies that are the location is supposed to be Lawrence. And lately we've been losing movies. We can't get anybody to film here because Colorado has incentives and we don't. I mean, it's not like that's, I guess that's sort of like a little bit of welfare-ish for the film companies. But if people see Lawrence in a movie, hey, they might be a little bit more interested to come see here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might help tourism a little bit. I think in the end it would probably increase our... fiscal benefits.
You're right. Yeah. Now, but do you see this as maybe being contradictory to your message about tax abatements for businesses?
Yes, I do. it's a little bit hard to put together, but
is it just that you would prefer to see those types of jobs in Lawrence?
Well, I think tax abatements are different because what you're getting is somebody who's there. They'll be there for 8 years and they'll give you the 30 jobs or whatever at $59 an hour is the living wage that makes tax abatements. They at least put that restriction on there.
Right.
But the movie's going to be on DVD forever. So, I mean, I think it's just a matter of increasing the public awareness in the nation of Lawrence and how it's not like some little Kansas town with no forward thinking, and it's a little hick area. Just mm-hmm. like every time MTV puts Kansas on there, they always go to some horse ranch or something.
So you see it as good PR.
Yeah, I see Lawrence. It as good PR, and I think that's it makes it attractive to businesses that are looking for good PR.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big part of what business nowadays does.
Yeah,
they're looking for a nice face to put on things.
Right. Okay, switching gears, and you have already touched on this, and you said that you are reluctant to talk about it, but since it is such a big issue, the one issue when you mention Lawrence politics, everyone seems to bring up the smoking ban.
Yeah.
It's hard to avoid. You can't avoid it.
Yeah.
You want to revisit it.
Yeah.
Specifically how?
Well, it's the most it's like one of the most restrictive smoking bans in the nation. And but you look over Eudora, you look at the Legends, well, they don't have anything. So apparently, if there are smokers that want to come out here, they're going to say, oh, no, I would rather smoke inside.
Mm.
And I've seen some of the figures on alcohol sales and where we were growing faster than the state, which, I mean, I guess a lot of people don't care about alcohol sales, but it's an indicator of downtown's revenue in general. And it used to be way ahead of the state. And then right after the smoking ban, it dropped to a negative growth. And then now it's really lagging behind state growth because nobody wants to put new bars in here. And that leads into like the 55% food requirement for new bars in town.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get just a straight bar venue in here, you can't have more live music. And you just lose out all those people that they're going to be entertained over in the corporate megaland of the Legends instead of coming here.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that your position has been affected by the fact that you are a performer and that you've been in a lot of these bars and establishments that are directly affected by the smoking ban?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's where I go out, too. I mean, downtown is where I hang out. So anything that hurts downtown and like brings another Starbucks in, I'm not really for it. I mean, fine that there's a Starbucks there. Fine that there's Borders. Borders should never have gotten a subsidy for being here. I mean, Borders wanted to come here anyway. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a town that buys books.
But we really wanted that parking lot, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we wanted that parking lot and the facade on the one side. Looks like an old building.
It could help with film production. It looks like one of those backlot false fronts. It's great. Are you a smoker yourself?
Yes.
Ding!
Yes, Bill O'Reilly.
Nailed you.
Damn question. But I'm trying to quit.
Okay, see, there might be a perceived conflict of interest.
Yes, there might be. You know, actually, I don't mind the smoking ban itself, but it does hurt the businesses. That's the thing. I mean,
so you don't mind it on a personal level. It's just the way you see it affecting the business down there.
I've talked to a bunch of the I've talked to a couple of business owners, and I'm planning on talking to more, especially in like the venues and stuff like that. And they don't like it.
Yeah. See, I think that the fact that you are more skeptical about the smoking ban kind of proves you're not a dirty hippie.
Yeah. It's odd that a lot of the more liberal people like no smoking. I don't want to be smelling like smoke. Take away the personal freedom of someone else. Don't tap my phone and find out I'm selling drugs. Oh, this is going to destroy me on Lawrence.com now.
I know. Although I have to admit, I was kind of along those same lines. The sort of people who were outraged that there were cameras at the Wakarusa Music Festival taping them selling drugs. Don't sell drugs!
Yeah. I've seen comments where, like, for every smoking enforcement they put in place, they should repeal something on pot. And I'm like, oh, my God. How can you not see that these are the same thing in some ways? But pot's magical, apparently. So
that's true. It's, yeah. There's an exemption because it's pot. But you've mentioned that I saw on your MySpace profile and in your campaign literature, you feel that the individuality of Lawrence, the quote unquote heart of Lawrence, is under attack. What specifically do you think is threatening the heart of Lawrence?
I think it's a lot of people that are moving here lately are more interested in the resale value of their homes and how we were having that booming market, and they want their revenues to go up, and they don't come downtown at all. They just want to go to Kohl's and they just want to stay out there. And I mean, this is the old part of town, and it's been here forever. West Lawrence is new, but it has a huge influence on the way the city's getting run right now, I think.
What steps, and you've outlined some of it with your platform, but like, I mean, like how would you try to preserve the heart of Lawrence?
Well, for one thing, I don't think we should subsidize any more corporate interests coming into town in that area, at least. I mean, especially when it competes with like local bookstores or whatever. I think that maybe when we do waterline work and we close off the sidewalks and there's no parking downtown, maybe we should give a little tax holiday or something to the businesses down there. I think if you relax, especially the food requirement, and let a more natural progression of what businesses go down there. There's plenty of retail out on the south side of town at this point. People are going more and more there to do their like regular shopping. So I think an entertainment district is what downtown's going to become. If it was left to its own devices, it'd be that right now. And if we in the whole idea of like live music drawing people into town, sort of like Austin or something, I think that'd be pretty good. And if we had the Walker Roots Fest is good, but we had some sort of mid-year while the school's in session kind of downtown music thing, I think that would draw tourist dollars and stuff like that. But we can't have a downtown music festival with only like 5 or 6, 10 places that play music or have music some days of the week.
It seems that your campaign and your platform revolves around trying to preserve downtown Lawrence and its unique aspects. What would you try to do to appeal to those sorts of pro-growth West Lawrence concerns?
Regarding downtown?
Or just Lawrence in general.
It's just there's too much meddling, and it's really going against what you're trying to do if you want to get more growth and more tax revenue. If you allow downtown to be vibrant and go on its own feet and walk where it needs to be, it's going to draw people here. It's going to improve the national face of Lawrence. I think the green policies are something else that are going to improve the national the reputation of Lawrence, like especially the green fuel. That not only would improve our reputation around town, but we have a 604 megawatt power plant out there at Lawrence Energy Center, and green fuel itself takes acres and acres. So at least I think it'd be at least 600 to 1,200 acres of those green fuel sites, which need to be maintained by people. So that'd be a lot of new jobs, and that green fuel stuff generates revenue. So it's not like it's not going to pay for itself. And I think if we did it right now, we'd probably get the government to pay for, or the federal government to pay part of it. Sort of like a city welfare. Yeah. Another contradictory statement, I guess.
It's just how you apply it. Sort of in closing and summation, why do you feel that Lawrence is so special, and why do you feel that you are the right candidate to represent it?
Lawrence is special because it is the like little tiny flower in a field of weeds. I mean, it's just completely different than anywhere else in Kansas. That's the thing. There's no city like it. I mean, Manhattan's more like regular Kansas than in Wichita. I guess there's a school there. I don't know.
The Shockers.
But we have a different kind of thought. I mean, we were originated with different thinkers. It was bloody. But I mean, these people were fighting for something that was important to them, and you don't hear about the great Baser riots or the great, that's where I went to high school, but you don't hear about the great Ottawa raid on Harper's Ferry or anything like that. And well, the average age of Lawrence is 27.9, and I'm 28. Mm-hmm. I think right there, I should be president. President of Lawrence.
Dictator. The new John Brown.
Yes.
So what's your sort of closing statement as a candidate? What's your pitch to the – why should they vote for you?
Well, I think they should vote for me because nobody else running or on the commission currently listens to any of the concerns that like the youth and the art side of Lawrence care about. I mean, they're more corporate interest. They might have some good intentions sometimes, but it's really not working out for us, I don't think.
All right. Few questions to help the voters better know you as a candidate.
Okay.
What are you reading right now?
Right now, I am reading, well, I just read today, the opinions and writings of Galileo for my Western Civ class. But I'm also reading the Tao of Willie, the Willie Nelson philosophy book.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
light reading there.
Why are you reading the Willie Nelson book? Like, what were some pearls from the Willie Nelson book?
Well, he talks a lot about golf and how everybody should be nice to each other, and how he likes pot. I was kind of looking for braiding tips because I used to have Willie Nelson braids, and
yeah. Maybe some biofuel tips.
No. There was nothing in there. I mean, they were too thin. I had to cut them off.
He has somebody do it for him.
Yeah, yeah.
What's a book that you would recommend everyone read?
Well, I like the Dark Tower series by Stephen King, but a lot of people heard that, so I'll take a little bit more obscure one that's I read it in high school and I really liked it. Fingerprints of the Gods by Graham Hancock. It's all about like ancient civilizations and stuff. Pseudo-history kind of. I don't know. It's neat.
It's neat. Good enough. What are your three favorite shows that you're watching right now on TV?
Well, let's see. I don't want to say that because that's awful geeky.
Just say it.
I like Stargate a lot. I like Lost, and I like The Office.
Uh-huh.
And I like Dirty Jobs and Mythbusters.
Great shows. Great shows. Five CDs that you're listening to right now.
That I'm listening to right now. Usually I put in Old Kane sometimes. And I have the latest Nine Inch Nails, which I guess there's the new ones coming out. I usually have a big stretch of illegally downloaded Ryan Adams songs. the Abilene CD, the last Abilene CD I liked, but they broke up, so.
How many CDs is that? I think that's four. Give me one more. Give me one more.
One more.
One more. Come on. Dig deep.
Let's see. What's it? Perennial favorite. God, how can I not remember music? Neutral Milk Hotel is the one with Two-Headed Boy on it. I don't remember the title. Communist Daughter and all that, which will be my campaign song. Yeah.
Communist Daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Two-Headed Boy, maybe.
Two-Headed Boy.
King of Carrot Flowers, maybe. See, I know the songs on that CD.
I think that speaks to your credibility. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that covers it. Jake Davis, candidate for Lawrence City Commission and known as Basin when he performs around town as a musician. Thank you very much for joining us here at Lawrence.com.
All right. Thank you.
This is the
the story. This is the story. Oh, this is the story. This is the story. This is the story. This is the story. This is the story.